Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Mario Coleman, and I am the CEO of NCWCC. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to NCWCC Digital Online Radio Broadcast Network and NCWCC Chicago Talk Radio. We change lives.
We change lives.
This is NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. This is September 24th, 2012. I'm your host, Patricia Hunt, broadcasting live from Portland, Oregon. Karima Ali, our executive producer, is joining me today. Hello, Karima.
Hello, Patricia. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing good. Today we'll be talking with Chris Vaughn, Republican candidate for Congress in Georgia. He's facing incumbent Democrat Congressman Hank Johnson for the seat once held by former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Welcome, Chris Vaughn.
Hi there. Hi there, Patricia. How are you? Hi, Karima.
Hello.
Now, Mr. Vaughn, you are pastor of Grace Summit Interdenominational Church of McDonough. You live in Conyers, Georgia. And I want to know what inspired an interdenominational pastor to run for Congress.
I get that one often. That's always the question. And sometimes I often wonder, you know, oh, why am I here? It's been a long year. You know, truthfully, I'm laying in bed about a year ago. And I had, through a local TV show I was doing at the time on a cable network with my family, my church, who was a county commissioner chairman, got to know a lot of the politicians in the state of Georgia and in the area. And, you know, just began to look at the map and just one night felt very impressed and inspired to do it. The other side to that is last year, my oldest daughter, who's 21 now, was 20. She was out of college for the summer and honest to God could not find a job. She's a beautiful young lady, very presentable, had worked for a year before her first year of college. They tried to make her a manager in 3 months. She can sell well. She carries herself well. But just the job market was so depressed in the Rockville County, DeKalb County area. It just, you know, there was something got a hold of me. And, you know, in my opinion, it's time for a change in the district. And the district needs an advocate and someone who's not a partisan, who doesn't put party first, but puts people first. And I look at it that way from a pastor. You know, a pastor's role is to use that word minister to people. I've always liked in England or in Europe how they will use that term, the minister of finance, in England, the minister of the equiture, the minister of defense. I've always liked those phrases because it should remind us that public service should be ministry. It is to serve those who you are entrusted with, and to honor that. So, you know, I after that night, I checked with a couple friends who are very political. I never do this. I always check with my wife first and on major decisions. But I figured if they shot me down, there's no reason to waste my wife's time. They didn't, and then my wife didn't. And I don't mean that wrong. I had some explaining to do, as Ricky Ricardo would say. But I really wanted someone to tell me no and to shoot me down. And they didn't, and my wife didn't, and my children didn't, and the elders of my church didn't, and my church didn't. And I still checked around, and I had everybody tell me the same thing. You know, the fourth is a hard district. It'll be, you know, hard to win. But I just feel that there's you know, the winds of change are blowing, and people are tired of just the constant same old, and the same old excuses. And so I stepped up, and I want to serve righteously and royally to help the people of the 4th District.
All right. Now let's talk about the same old, same old. Hank Johnson has held this seat for the 4th Congressional District in Georgia for 5.5 years. I want to know, what will you bring to voters in your district that Hank Johnson is not bringing currently?
Well, I hate to say it in some ways, because it seems like you know, I'm trying to make sure I don't get into just the whole name calling. I I bless Hank Johnson. I don't think he represents well the values of the 4th District. As a minister, I perked up and was quite shocked when he was one of only 9 U.S. congressmen to vote against the U.S. motto, In God We Trust. That was a year ago. He doesn't seem to be as connected to the community or as desirous to really promote it, to sell it, to work. You know, and the truth is, and I mean this, I don't want to see somebody heard a story today from somebody, and they were talking about, you know, young people just trying to get a job, and it wells you up with, you know, almost sadness to know that people are struggling. And the office of a congressman should be to work tirelessly to better the relationships between those state representatives, the county office holders, and the federal office holders and the federal departments, so that the resources that need to come home can come home and be here and to be given to take care of the needs of the people in the 4th District. And on many levels, in fact, I get a lot of, you know, being a candidate, you get invited to these nonpartisan events or partisan forums, but it amazes me at the nonpartisan forums that I go to. I'll have Democratic workers. I've had a couple Democratic campaign leaders for other candidates. They'll all come up to me, lower their voice, and they all look at me, and they'll go, I hope you win. And I'm like, I even had one gentleman look at me, and he goes, you know, you're a good-looking man. And I immediately thought, where the heck are we going with this conversation? He goes, you're a good-looking man. You speak well. You handle yourself well. He said, Chris, you're a good candidate. And he said, have you ever ran for anything? I said, no, I'm just a pastor. I said, I'm just a minister. I said, I've done talk radio in the past. I said, I have done, you know, corporate events. I said, but this is it. He said, well, I just don't understand something. And I said, what? He goes, why are you running in the 4th? He said, you ought to run somewhere where you think you might could win. And I said, well, I feel called to the 4th. I love the 4th. I love where I live. I said, I don't know why anybody would leave it. And I said, but we need better representation in the 4th to make sure that the people and every constituent in the 4th are better served. And he leans in and looks at me because he's standing around. He goes, I wish I could help you. He says, I hope you do well. I looked at him. I said, well, then you need to vote for me and encourage your friends to. And he says, okay, you know, hopefully he will. And I understand, too, people in parties, you know, that can be very, very leg-cutting off if they, you know, cross to the other side and, you know, help somebody from the other side to win. But there is a there are voices in the 4th District that are very tired of the representation of Congressman Johnson. He's been sick for a number of years, and prayerfully and hopefully he's doing better. But I think that's affected the office. And so, you know, so I desire to bring
that
on.
Let's talk about the 4th District a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, this district represents 85% of DeKalb County in Georgia. Now, this is a largely Democratic base. How will you persuade these Democrats to vote for you, a Republican?
You know, that is the great challenge. You know, we're doing it through, you know, hands-on, one-on-one, as much as we can. You know, really just actually asking people just to consider where we are and if we are better as a area and the 4th District. It has been a longly held, strongly Democratic held office. And, you know, everybody always picks up, being the minister, you know, that it's the David and Goliath, the fight. It's, you know, it is the impossible dream. It's that. And it may be that. But to me, there are values which are worth fighting for and making sure that you fight for those. So we're doing a lot of one-on-one. You know, there's also a lot of turmoil in some of the African-American community, especially in the faith areas, because of some of the stances Hank Johnson has taken, especially when it comes to traditional marriage, when it comes to some other social issues. So, you know, sometimes when you just look at numbers and in the past, everybody kind of just writes off the 4th. But to me, when you look and you're on the ground with people and you talk with people, the hearts and minds of people, I think, are so much more open to doing something outside of the box and having a different option and hopefully getting a different result.
There's a lot of gridlock. Go right ahead, Karima.
I got a question. You mentioned about David and Goliath. David and Goliath. If I remember correctly, David won.
He did. He was bold. He was bold enough to run on the battle. You know, out in the field. So, you know, I which I also use the phrase. I think there are things. You know, everybody asks me that. You know, and why should we give our money? Why should we help? I even had one person look at me and they said, just forget the fourth. Just write it off. It's not worth it. But that's like telling me as a pastor, you know, that there's certain people that you should not ever reach out to. I would never do that as a pastor of a church. You know, every life is valuable. Everybody has worth. Everyone needs to be reached out to. And the fourth district is. And so, you have to look at that, and you have to be willing to run on the battlefield. And so that's the other side. The fact you've been very surreal. I'll have people come up to me and thank me for running. And I'm like, well, I really haven't done anything yet. You know, I haven't passed any legislation. I haven't, you know, brought the money back home from Washington to, help the residents in the fourth. I said, but people understand that it is a big undertaking, and it is, in a sense, even with the Republican Party, you know, fighting upstream to fight for the values and fight for people to have a better life in the fourth.
Well, when you
there's a lot of gridlock.
I'm in your district, and NCWCC is sponsors and is the only sponsor for the Build a Youth program that's right here in Hank Johnson's district. It's also a licensed youth build program. Talk to us about the young people, the new generation of voters that the GOP is trying to attract. How would that help? How would you do something different? Because we could not get the support of Hank Johnson for program program monies, support from the constituencies that run DeKalb County. If you were talking to some of my people, my peers, or my students who are 18 years of age now and voting, what would you do differently? How would you be different from Hank?
Well, part of my background is I always think it's funny, like when you talk to church people, and a lot of my parallels or paradigms are from church, which I think church is a perfect paradigm of society because it's always a community dynamics. But most churches always look at it and they'll make the comment about teenagers. They'll say, well, you know, that's the church of tomorrow. I hate to say it, you know, to break their bubble. They are the reality of life today. They are the reality of where the nation is going, where the thoughts are going, and you have to harness it. You have to embrace it. You have to engage it. I've always said for years, I've always said one of the sins, I think, of both parties almost is lack of engagement in that 18 to 25 group. One reason why they don't want to is because they don't have money. You really want to hit your big donors and people who can. But the other side to that is if you can harness a heart and really get them passionate about, you know, civic duty, honoring people, serving people, you can just transform a nation. And so, you know, I having come from 22 years of youth camps, to me, it is a preeminent priority to always make sure you have resources available to connect with those ages, especially in education, so that you can, so they can be informed, so that they have a part, and so they don't feel disenfranchised. I was at a restaurant in Lithonia a couple weeks ago, and the little waitress was waiting on me. She's probably 24. And I just stepped out of the box. It felt kind of strange. I just gave her one of my cards, and we started talking. And she pulls back after probably 10 minutes of talking. She looked at me. She says, can I tell you something? So I don't know where she's about to go. I thought, you know, she's going to tell me to shut up or whatever. She says, you're the first person who's ever taken the time to want to talk to me and get my opinion. And I said, she says, we have politicians come in here all the time. She says, they talk to their groups, they talk to their people. And then she looked at me and she says, and I mean both parties. She says, nobody's ever taken the time to talk to me. I looked at her, I said, well, honey, I said, all I know is, I said, you're important. I said, and your voice counts. And I said, don't ever think it doesn't. I said, so you always have to remember that. And I said, you always need to vote. Always need to be informed and be in the process. And you know, to me, it's just that simple. And making sure that you give that. The other flip to that is most teenagers, most 18 to 25 year olds, they know when you're not when you're not genuine in that, and when you just pay them for the service. The bad thing with that is, so then you disenfranchise them because they get burnt. They realize that the system isn't really rigged, but they don't feel like it's supportive of them. And so
their voice is not heard. Chris, their voice is drowned out. Their voices are not heard. I dealt with over 600 youth each year as a program director, and they realize, and that is so heartfelt to know that you took the time to at least speak to this this young lady. And that's going to go, I think that's what's going to get you elected, because the youth in this community, the youth in the 4th District are very frustrated, and they're very tired of their voices only being heard for just the time during the election year. And I'm telling you this from a program manager standpoint. So I just wanted to bring that out. And I really appreciate the fact that you have the groundwork for working with young people. You know what that looks like, not just being a father and a pastor, but you have been involved with these young people for years now. So you have seen both sides, and I really like the fact that your premises is restore, recapture, reduce, bringing on family values of hardworking families. And I think it's not, and I keep pushing this to everyone, it is not about the party, it's about the purpose. And that's where I'm at with it. We're gonna take a moment break, you guys, okay. And we'll be right back with you guys, okay? Welcome back to the NCWCC Digital Broadcast Online Network. I'm joined today with our host, Patricia Hunt, airing live out of Portland, Oregon, and our new congressman, Chris Vaughn, for the 4th District. So, guys, welcome back to the show.
Oh, I love you, Chris.
All right.
You're so sweet.
Chris Vaughn, let me ask you this. You indicate that you might be a little bit more accessible than your competitor, Hank Johnson. Is that true?
Well, you know, one of my convictions, and I've said this, I'll use this as a kind of a lead into that. A friend in my neighborhood, I just live in a standard, you know, little subdivision in South Rockdale, and he came up to me and he said, and he was, you know, being like Karima, he said, "Hey, Congressman," he says, I'm proud of you." He said, "When you win," he says, "I know you're going to move away." I looked at him and said, "I'm not moving." He says, "Well, you're going to move away to go where?" I said, "I ain't moving." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to pastor my church." I said, "I'm going to work in Washington." I said, "I'm committed to making it work." I said, "I'll be in Georgia every moment that I can." I said, "I'm not going to move to Washington." I said, I've done research this. U.S. congressman, of course, has duties that you take care of. I said, "But I said, I'm not going to live there." And I said, "If you want to, you know," and the same young lady who I mentioned earlier, she asked me that reference. She goes, "Well, what are you going to do if I need to get in touch with you? How can I get in touch with you?" I said, "Well, you know, upon winning," I said, "I'll make sure everybody knows my office number and you can call and make an appointment." And I said, "Heck," I said, "if you don't want to do that, just wait in the parking lot of my church till Sunday afternoon." I said, "When I'm walking out, you can attack me." And I said, "You can, you know, say, you know, say, come up and, you know, give me, you know, speak your mind." And I said, "I'll be here." You know, I actually had a local politician come up to me after a League of Women Voters event. And she said, "You know," she said, "I cannot believe this." And Mr. Johnson was there that night. First event I think I've ever seen him at in Rockdale. And I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I haven't seen him here in 5 years." She goes, "I've seen him more in the last 2 weeks than I have in 5 years." And at that time, there was rumors that Cynthia McKinney may jump back in, and that there was going to possibly be other Democratic challengers, bigger challengers to him. And so, you know, he's not known for being accessible or, you know, in the community. But I have no intention of leaving. And I'll be honest on this one. I have no intention of making this a career. You know, this is a churchism. Most of the time when people get sedentary in something long enough, they're not open to change. And when everybody says there's gridlock in Washington, you look at the average length of most people, especially in the Senate, they've been there for 20 years, 24, you know, 30 years. You get so ingrained in certain process that you're never open up to a new idea. And, you know, that's one of the other changes. That, so, you know, I have no desire to do this for 20 years. I have no desire to do this for probably more than two or three. You know, give me 4 or 5 years and I'm done. I mean, it's an incredible amount of work and a taxation on your family to run in a race like this. And I'm very thankful for it. Wouldn't trade a moment of it. But I very much intend to be in Georgia every moment of every day that I can. It's what I love.
There is a lot of gridlock going on in Congress right now, largely thanks to the newly elected Tea Party candidates. Are you a Tea Party candidate?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a Tea Party candidate totally. There's a lot of the conviction and principles of the Tea Party I truly hold to. You know, and I'm very of a principled person. You know, I think, you know, I agree with most people. I think there's blame to go around, Democrat, Republican, the few independents that are up there. You know, most people won't. Here's something that I've heard so many times, you know, that, you know, that there's not been any medical bills or, you know, health legislation in the last 10 years. And that's just not true. Republicans have offered some, you know, health legislation to change the health system as far out as 8 years ago, but it didn't go anywhere because everybody's wanting to get, you know, their name on the ballot or I should say the name on the sign so that they can get the kudos that their party or they did it. You know, and sadly, you have people who are suffering who need, you know, medical health insurance and they can't get it due to the fact that everybody's still squabbling. So there's certain Tea Party things on that. I'm very principled. I think we should live to a certain set of laws and rules. I know somebody came up to me one day and they said, "What about tort reform? Are you wanting to, you know, go after lawyers?" I said, "I'd love to have tort reform." They said, "Would you pass for that legislation congressionally?" And I said, "No, I can't do that." And they said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, that's not a federal." I said, "You know, lawyers are usually governed on a state level. That would be a state level issue." And they looked at me and I said, "I said if you're going to say you live by a certain set of laws, such as the Bible, then you live by them. I said, if you're going to say you live by a certain set of laws of the Constitution, you have to live by them." I said, I don't see where I could overreach that. And I hope I answered his question. So there's many values in the Tea Party I hold to. And, you know, I do think we need to, like, reduce our spending without question, because if we don't eventually do it, we'll have no money or help to be able to help anybody within our own country.
Let me stop you for a second. Let me just stop you. This is what I was trying to make sure we made sure. I want people to know that Chris Bynes is a person that does not see race. He does not see creed or color. The accessibility to understanding that, you being a pastor, you are colorblind, am I not? Because you have an interdenominated church interface.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us a little bit about that part, about you not being a part of a party, but the purpose. You said about Bible principles. You're going to go to Congress with those principles intact. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, I've never understood anybody. I've never understood anybody who approaches all things. And when I say prejudiciously, I don't mean just color, whether it be economics or, you know, I've been picked at all my life. I look very Italian, but I have a Southern accent.
I wasn't going to say, Linda wasn't going to say nothing, but Linda Smith said we just need to tan you a little bit.
Yeah. And everybody tells me that. And, well, since you brought that one up, I actually overheard two gentlemen in a county, I won't say where, older white gentlemen. They were talking about me, but they were older, so they weren't whispering. They were yelling at each other almost, and they were talking about who I am. And they said, "Well, he's running for Congress." And the other guy goes, "Well, against who?" And he said, "Well, Hank Johnson." He goes, the fourth district. He goes, the one of them goes, "He's white." And the other guy goes, "Well, he ain't that white." And, you know, and I'm not. I mean, I have a very olive complexion. I either look Hispanic or Italian, and yeah, I've never understood that with people. I really don't. I mean, you know, any family in my church, they all want the same thing. They want a good job. They want to take care of their family. They want their children taken care of. They want a safe environment to live in. And it's always a little squeamish on my stomach, whether it's a financial and you know, rich people are bashing poor people, or poor people are bashing rich people, or, you know, Ivy League schools are bashing, you know, a two-year college. Most people, in my opinion, are just trying to do well. You do have some corrupt people, and those always are weeded out. But most people, in my
Chris,
opinion, really are. Yes, ma'am.
Tell us who you're supporting for the White House.
For the White House, you know, I'm supporting Romney. I look at it. I do get this question, especially in the 4th District. Why are you a Republican? I like the economics of the Republican Party more. Because of wanting to curtail certain spendings and make sure that we have that. But, you know, I'm a Romney supporter. He's the Republican nominee. No angst against President Obama. It's real funny, too. I take criticism from that, but that's the minister in me. You know, some people want to call this one names or that one names. Well, I didn't like it when they called Bush names. I don't like it when they call President Obama names. He is my president. Biblically, I'm required to honor him. Pray for him, intercede for him, and so you know, whoever wins, but at this point, I do support Romney and Ryan, and
Romney has said that if he gets in the White House, one of the first things he's going to do is to repeal Obamacare. How do you feel about Obamacare?
Well, you know, for anybody to sit at the table and say we didn't need some kind of health care reform, they're just an idiot. Our nation desperately needed health care reform. The other joke, we always joke about this, but portability, the fact that I can buy car insurance anywhere in America, but I can't take my health insurance with me. There's certain issues such as that. And even on tort reform, which, again, I think is a state issue. There's no question that there are provisions within Obamacare that should have been passed years earlier. There's certain levels of the taxation that I hope can be undone. A report a couple weeks ago talked about surgical implants, joints and such. There's a tax on that that's going to be added. I think there's certain things such as that definitely need to be retooled or readjusted. Hopefully you can do it without having to repeal it. If you can't do that, then I guess you do repeal it. But at the same time, you blessedly better have something immediately on the table to alter it or fix it. I think I mentioned earlier
that. Let me ask you this. Mr. Romney is talking about the possibility of cutting funding to Pell Grants for college education. How do you feel about cutting the funding for Pell Grants?
That's a hard one. I got two kids in college, so I can be biased on that. I mean, unbiased on that one. That's like asking if they don't want you to buy them dinner. No, heck, I want you to buy me dinner. You know, the educationally, that's a hard one. I understand where he wants to go with that. I've said for too long now, and I actually had to have a conversation today. This is a pastoral issue with someone, and they can't afford their lifestyle. That's just all there is to it. And they wanted my church to pay for their lifestyle and asked me if we could help. And I just had to have the heart-to-heart. I said, you know, we can't do that. Number one, we don't have the means to do that. For what you need. I said, but, you know, that you're at a point that you need to, you know, make some changes. And I think sadly, we are at a place, you know, the current budget we operate in is the 09 budget, which was the inflated budget to make sure that we overcame the meltdown at the end of 08. But we're still operating at that budget. And that budget spends about $1 trillion.
I hate to shut
you got another break?
Down. We're about out of time. We got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank for being on the show, and I'm hoping that we can get you back in the next several weeks to come.
Anytime.
Tell people how to get in contact with you and your website.
Oh, you're sweet. Thanks so much. They can go to Chris Vaughn, chrisvaughn.net. Or chrisvaughnforcongress.com. There's contact information, our Twitter, our Facebook, all that is there, and they can find out. We're about to open up a new office in Conyers next week, so we'll have that information on our website, too. So they can go there. They'll find our number, but chrisvaughn.net.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate your coming on to share your thoughts.
Bye, y'all.
Have a good afternoon.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Hello, my name is Mario Coleman, and I am the CEO of NCWCC. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to NCWCC Digital Online Radio Broadcast Network and NCWCC Chicago Talk Radio. We change lives.